Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith. Our program is about Ambrose, statesman, bishop, theologian. So who is Ambrose? Well, he was born in the province of Gaul, which we would now call France. He was born into a devout Christian family. He was trained by his father and other family members to be a politician. He was admired by the people as a politician, but he later will assume leadership through faith. So how did Ambrose, who was a lawyer, become one of the greatest bishops of the church? Well, as in all things, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Gracious and most merciful God, give us ears to hear your words, a mind to comprehend your meaning, and hearts that will allow your word to take root in our lives. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Well, Aurelius Ambrosius, Ambrose, was born in 340 AD in the city of Trier, and that was the capital of the province of Gaul, which included France and the Netherlands and Belgium and parts of Germany. And it was a very powerful position within the Roman Empire. And from the earliest years, Ambrose was groomed to be a lawyer and a politician just like his father. Now, there was a legend that developed about Ambrose that when he was an infant, he was left sleeping in a basket outside and bees came and covered his face. Now, they did not sting him, but they left a drop of honey on his lower lip. And Ambrose ultimately became known as a sweet speaker in his orations and homilies. So Ambrose's family was distinguished for both loyal Roman civil work, but also very devout Christianity. Ambrose was sent to Rome for the best education available, but Rome was no longer the most important city in the empire. That was in the east. It was Constantinople. And in the west, Milan was outpacing Rome quickly as being the administrative center of the Western Roman Empire. So when Ambrose's education was complete, he was appointed a judicial counselor in Rome. And in 372, he was appointed governor of the province of Emilia Liguria, which included most of northern Italy, the Italian peninsula, and it was administered from the city of Milan. Now, Milan was a very divided city. There were both Orthodox and Arian bishops functioning in the churches. The Council of Nicaea had not eliminated the Arian heresy in Milan. And when a bishop's position became vacant, many urged the governor to assign it to an Arian bishop. But many also protested that publicly. So there was a lot of division, a lot of emotion being expressed. So Ambrose, as the governor of Milan, decides to go to the meeting and preside over the arguments to ensure that a peaceful transition is achieved and that violence is averted. Well, they argue back and forth. The meeting finally reaches an impasse, and there's a quiet pause. And suddenly a child's voice is heard above in that moment of quiet, and the child says, "Ambrose Bishop." And within a few minutes, everybody is shouting, "Ambrose Bishop." They all decide, "That's a great idea. Let's have Ambrose become the bishop." Well, Ambrose doesn't want any part of that, so he ends the meeting and he retreats from the scene. But he could not escape his fate. A friend comes to him and tells him that the emperor has heard about this meeting and what the people asked, and the emperor has said that he thought it'd be a great idea for Ambrose to become the bishop. So Ambrose gave in. Now, Ambrose submitted to the will of the people and the pleasure of the emperor, and so he is baptized, confirmed, ordained a priest, and then ordained as archbishop. And then his life and the future of the church in Milan and the entire empire is forever transformed. Ambrose immediately set to work. His city is divided by the heresy of Arianism, so he must teach his people. He believes in the Orthodox faith. So he begins to put to use his exceptional rhetorical skills in communicating this true faith. And the cathedral church becomes packed as more and more people come to hear him speak. What is he concerned about? He's concerned about right worship. He wants the faith to be celebrated in an orthodox way. He is very concerned about the liturgy, that it is correct and proper. He teaches about the sacraments, that they be properly administered. And he also writes hymns, which was a new idea in the church, but he writes hymns which express his understanding of what orthodox liturgy and the correct faith is all about. And these are some of his quotes. He said, "Let your door stand open to receive him. Unlock your door to him. Offer him a welcome in your mind, and then you will see the riches of simplicity, the treasures of peace, the joy of grace. Throw wide the gate of your heart. Stand before the Son of everlasting light." Spiritual reading is the food of the soul, which renders it dauntless and strong against all temptation, which prompts it with holy thoughts and ardent desires for heaven, which enlightens the mind, strengthens the will, and gives comfort in all afflictions, which, in conclusion, procures that true and holy joy which is found in God alone. When we speak about wisdom, we are speaking about Christ. When we speak about virtue, we are speaking about Christ. When we speak about justice, we are speaking about Christ. When we speak about peace, we are speaking about Christ. When we speak about truth and life and redemption, we are speaking about Christ. He who reads much and understands much receives his fill. He who is full refreshes others. No one heals by wounding another. If you have two cloaks in your closet, one belongs to you, and the other to the man with no cloak. So Ambrose was very eloquent, and the people listened to what he had to say. He was one of the first to develop a sincere devotion to our Holy Mother Mary, and this is especially true in the West, the Western Church, and others soon adopted this, and it began to spread far and wide throughout the church. And then his use of Latin as the new language in the Western Church helped differentiate it in significant ways from worship in the East. So we start to see a drawing apart of East and West. Within a few years, Ambrose had won over a great majority of the people, and there were very few Arians still residing in Milan. He had also become the personal friend of the Emperor Theodosius I, who was the first emperor for a long time to rule both the Western and the Eastern empires, because the empire had split and there were two emperors. Well, Theodosius was emperor over both empires. And because of that, he spent much of his time in Milan, and they became great friends. Now, there was an incident that really tried their friendship, and that was what was known as the Massacre of Thessalonica. It happened in the year 390. It was triggered by the arrest of a popular charioteer. Chariot races was the big thing. It was like the NFL in those days. And this popular charioteer was accused of raping a cupbearer. And so the arrest led to a riot, which resulted in the killing of the charioteer and several other people. Well, Emperor Theodosius I was in Milan, and when he heard about this, he was outraged. He overreacted. He ordered the soldiers to move in and execute the perpetrators of this riot that had occurred. And the soldiers did that. They went in and killed 700 people. Well, when Ambrose heard about this, he called out Theodosius on this atrocity and told him not to come to church before he had served a very public penance for his actions. Well, Theodosius was angry, and at first he thought to oppose Ambrose. He thought maybe he should take him down and remove him as a bishop. But when they met at the door of the cathedral, it was the emperor who backed down. Ambrose looked him straight in the eye and told him what he had to do. And eventually Theodosius publicly appeared in sackcloth and ashes for many months before Ambrose personally presided over his absolution. Ambrose wrote down and told everyone in the church that the emperor is in the church, not above the church. Well, what was Ambrose's typical day like? Well, he was a workaholic, that's for sure. He would rise before dawn. He would then go out personally and distribute alms to the poor. Anybody he'd find in a corner or a shadow of a building, he would do that before dawn. Then he would come back and start writing his homilies. Then he would write these hymns that he was composing. Then he'd spend time in prayer. And since in those days, a bishop also had civil responsibilities, he would have to sit in as the adjudicator in certain trials. So he had to conduct court. Then he openly said he would meet with anyone whenever they requested to see him at any time. He was sort of the originator of the open door policy. So that was his day, a very full and hectic day. Well, one of the people who came to see him happened to be Augustine. And Augustine was a very bright young teacher from North Africa. Augustine had followed the Manichaeans, a religion that kind of combined everything from every other religion and believed in a good God and a bad God. And so he eventually became disillusioned with the Manichaeans, and he decided to come to Rome and take a teaching position. But he was disappointed with that position, so he went to Milan looking for better work. And when he went to Milan, he heard that they had this great archbishop and a wonderful speaker. So Ambrose taught Augustine how to read scripture in a totally new way. There were four paths. There was the literal meaning. So when he would read scripture, he would read it, and whatever it said, he would understand that's what it means if it was a historical event. But then he'd also read it in the allegorical sense. So he would understand that it symbolizes something else. And then he would read it for the moral teaching. So he would see what moral truth is being expressed in this writing. And then he would read it for the anagogical or eschatological meaning. And that would be, what does it mean for the end times and his life with Christ in eternity? And he would read it for that implication. So when he started to read all of that, scripture began to come alive for Augustine. And then Ambrose also taught Augustine how to read scripture, how to pray it. And it was something very close to what we now call Lectio Divina. So having learned how to read scripture, Augustine took what he learned, and he was praying in a garden when he heard a child's voice in a window come out and say, "Take and read." And he heard it over and over again, "Take and read, take and read." And Augustine was reading Paul's letter to the Romans, and suddenly tears gushed over him. He looked at what he was reading, and he realized that he had, with the help of Ambrose, he had finally found God in his long search. And so Augustine became a catechumen, and in 383, he was baptized by Ambrose in Milan, and he entered the faith. And he continued to learn from Ambrose, but in a few months, he decided to return to North Africa, where he founded a men's group for prayer, and he would continue to walk with God, and he would finally become one of the greatest theologians of the faith. And we'll talk more about Augustine in another program. So Ambrose says, "There is a stream which flows down on God's saints like a torrent. There is also a rushing river giving joy to the heart that is at peace and makes for peace." In 395, Emperor Theodosius I became gravely ill. This was the friend of Ambrose, and Ambrose went to him, and the emperor died in the arms of the Archbishop Ambrose. And Ambrose continued to serve the church, but he too became gravely ill not long after this, and he had to start to curtail some of his activities. So the people, aware that Ambrose's health was and his impending death were coming, were awestruck, saddened, and very penitent. In 397, Ambrose completed his mission to the people of Milan and the church in general, and he died. And his body was buried in the new church of the Basilica di San Ambrogio, which was initiated, the construction began just before his death, and so they renamed the church for him. And the church has been added on to many, many times. This is what the church looks like today. But that's where Ambrose's mortal remains were buried. And he can still be viewed there. He is the wearing the white bishop's vestments. And I forgot the name of the saint who's next to him. But there's a saint who lived a few hundred years afterward that lies next to him in this church of San Ambrogio. So Ambrose was born in the year 340. He was installed as bishop in 373, and he died in the year 397. He was declared a saint by popular consent, and he was proclaimed a doctor of the church in 1298. St. Ambrose, pray for us. So let us close in prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.